This is an interview with Dean Nicholson for the Youngstown State University History of United Schools Project by John Gesina at United Local High School on March 18th at 1:30 p.m. Mr. Nicholson, would you please give me a short background on yourself, where you were born, where you went to high school, a little bit about your parents and other family members?
Yes, I went to high school in Lisbon. Graduated in 1954. I went to college immediately, but left Ohio State University to enter the Marine Corps. Spent 3 years in the Marine Corps. Upon completion of my enlistment, married, and later, at the age of 26, entered Mountain Union College, where I graduated in 1966. I have a wife, two daughters, one 13, one 21. And a grandson, 4 months old. In 1970, I entered Westminster College in a graduate program and finished in 1973 with an M.E.D. in secondary administration. I'm presently employed at United High School, where I started in 1966, and I'm still here after 15 years.
Why did you decide to become a teacher? Was there any specific, maybe, teachers in high school that gave you any guidance toward it?
Yeah, specifically my high school football coach was an excellent history instructor. And through his efforts, really, I majored in history at the undergraduate level, taught 3 years of history, government, psychology, and sociology here at United. From 1966 till 1969, it was really his influence that made me decide on a history background at first.
Mr. Nicholson, you now head the OWE program at United. Would you tell me what the OWE letters stand for?
Occupational Work Experience.
Do you remember when it started in Ohio?
In Ohio, the first program as such started in 1963 in Niles. Tom Hyde, one of the supervisors, the Southeastern Ohio supervisor, was one of the teachers involved in starting that unit. Later, I think it was 1971, they came out with a certificate for OWE. Before, I'm not sure what taxonomy it came under. And then they've added to the program since, and every year it's updated quite extensively, really.
What year at United start OWE?
1978.
And before you started teaching OWE here at United, what other subjects did you teach before?
Well, in 1969, they instigated a unit under the department or the Vocational Agriculture Department in our school. It was called Agricultural Work Experience. It was, it resembled OWE, but there were, like I said, there was no taxonomy for that, such as an OWE certificate. You had to have a certificate in production ag, farm management, or ag business and supplies. That's the type of certificate I got, ag business and supplies, to teach that. The requirements for the students were pretty vague in those days as far as the criteria for selection, number of students went along with most of the ag programs, but the idea of working a half a day and going to school a half a day and receiving credit for related subjects and work was about the same, even though it wasn't as much as it is today as far as credits go. I did this for 9 years, and it worked out pretty well, with some exceptions as far as the students and their occupations. Even though this is a rural area, people tend to think that there's much more farm jobs, or many more farm jobs or ag-related jobs than there really are. It was difficult to keep students in ag-related jobs. There were jobs such as filling station jobs, some machine shops, different types of occupations such as this, but one of the, not a requirement, at least a desire, the Ag Department then was, or the Ag, the State Department of Agriculture and Ag Education was to keep these students at least 50% employed in ag. And that was very, very difficult to do.
In this program that you started before 1973, were there more boys than girls enrolled in it?
Most entirely all boys.
For example, how many per year could you say that went through your program?
Completed the program or just started and then won a two-year type program?
Well,
or
completed.
Went through, well, usually on average of 15 to 20.
Per year?
Per year, yeah.
So you had each student, the whole?
For a long time I was self-contained. That meant under ag, I taught everything. All our subjects, which is in itself, as with all the preparations, wasn't easy.
Now, did you have any of the English or history?
English, history, math, any other social studies, plus related subjects to AWE.
Now, this program, you had them for the half a day, about 8 to 12, and then they were
8 to 12, excused. Yeah, and then they went to work, yeah.
Now, in coordinating that, did you have to check on the kids?
Yeah, we had to make sure that they were working and at their employment, the hours that they were designated to be there.
How many hours are they legally allowed to work?
They are given credit for the hours they work up until 2:30 for school, but they can work any hours, number of hours, in accordance with the federal and state labor regulations that they want to. Once a boy nowadays reaches 18, he can work as many hours as he wants. But the credit they're given for work is only really technically up till 2:30, because that's our dismissal time. They are given credit for one and a half credits for work. They are given a credit each for their subject, related subjects, and POD, which I teach. I'm certified in social studies.
Okay, in 1973, then, you said you changed from like an ag-related OWE.
1978.
To OWE.
Right.
Period.
Yeah.
Now, what does this take in? Do you still have to teach all the English and history courses?
No, I teach only the related and to the seniors and juniors, POD in American history. OWE, POD in American history.
Okay, when you say related, what
related
type of subject?
Are all the subjects related to the world of work, such as banking and checking, budgeting, buying a car, in different types of insurance, social security, labor unions, how to use phone books in connection with our phones and phone books in connection with their job, answering a telephone, using a newspaper as a source of information on jobs. Really, just about anything connected. We show them how to fill out income tax forms. We show them how to keep their bank books, checkbooks, savings, and so forth in good order. Anything that's related to the world of work, and give them all the information they can that they can use after they leave here. And some of the boys go on to secondary or post-secondary education, like to trade schools, industrial schools, as far as trades and industry. We have one boy now in Indiana at Diesel Mechanics School. We've had him in Mechanics School in Cleveland. A couple boys have expressed really sincere interest in machine trades. Anything that's related to this, job-oriented is what it really is.
Do these boys apply for the jobs, or in reality, do you go out and get the jobs?
I have job stations, and I've had some for years and years, where a boy might work there a year or 2 years even, or some have gone and stayed on that particular job full time after they left this program. Some of them, the instructor or whoever their boss might be, supervisor, foreman, instructor, whatever, understands, and the boy does too, that once he finishes there, he has the opportunity to look for a job full-time elsewhere, and then we can fill that slot with another boy the next year. Yes. Some of the employers I've had for years, one of my just, a boy talked to this employer that was that I had even in an AWE 10, 12 years ago, and he's going to put him on there this week.
So in other words, in reality, you get the job set up for him. It's the kid's or the student's problem of holding the job.
Oh, yeah. It's his responsibility to keep the job, go to work, be a punctual, dependable, loyal, and so forth. But there are other occasions, though, many occasions where a boy comes in and before or wants to come in the program, and he says, look, I got a job. Do I have to leave it? And I say, no, we'll just go see the employer you got now and talk to him and tell him, you know, well, you're in this program, and there are certain requirements you have to meet, and being in school is one of them, and so forth, and we don't have them change jobs. A lot of boys come in with jobs like that. It's really an advantage for the instructors, really.
So in reality, when these boys go out to work, they are getting paid for the...
Oh, they're getting paid, yeah. We wouldn't have a boy going out for the experience unless he were out of a job and couldn't find one, or I couldn't get one for him, or he lost his transportation, or for whatever reason. We've had guys stay here at school, you know, rather than have them out running around the community and help the janitors out until school's out. And then between the two of us, we try to track down all jobs or needs for jobs that we can find, because with the way unemployment is in the area, there's so many adults taking jobs, you know, that he can be at work at, say, 7 o'clock in the morning, the adult can work the 8 hours, where these boys, the earliest they could possibly get out is 11 o'clock. Well, in some cases, they say, look, I can hire a guy, an adult, to do the job and work 6, 8 hours, whatever, and that sometimes hurts a boy with this unemployment problem.
In your years of working in OWE, have there been a lot of boys been dismissed from their jobs? If there has been...
No, not a lot, no.
Well, what would be maybe some of the things that would dismiss a boy from work?
Well, I would say that of the ones that I can recall offhand, failure to follow rules and regulations of the employer. Just like you and I, you know, if he fails
to come in late,
if he comes in late, he's not punctual, not dependable, doesn't call off when he's going to be sick, or when he is sick, or for whatever reason, and there have been so many various reasons, really more than just any one I can pinpoint, personality conflicts. I can't recall any of the boys that I've had ever dismissed for stealing, and this has been the occasion with some other programs I've heard about, not through the teachers or the kids or anything, but through people who have employed these people, and I've gone there to see about a workstation out of this district, really, and they say, no, they had bad experiences with OWE kids, so it's sort of, sometimes it wrongfully stereotypes them.
Now, in your OWE, how many girls do you have participate?
I have none. The girls I had this year both left school.
So then
one for marriage and one because she had offered, she planned on quitting when she was 18, but she had 2 years of vocational training, or was passing all her subjects, had a chance for a full-time job, and then I guess from what I gather, she was planning on getting married too.
So then, in reality, do the workers that are working the job and the people that they are working for, do they give them a grade?
They evaluate them. I have a sheet that says, you know, all the different things. Is the boy, all the personal traits, you know, is he dependable, loyal, punctual, and so forth. And then he has different areas like, does he follow orders, good, excellent, poor, or fair, average, and so forth. Can you leave him alone without supervision? Questions like this. And then they put a grade more or less of 1 through 4. And most all of them come out, I would say, above average.
Okay. Then you look through it and give them a grade of A, B, or C?
A, B, or C. It's sort of arbitrary grade, but it's the only way we have of evaluating their work, you know.
Now, who funds the program?
It's entirely state funded.
Does that mean that your salary, again, is coming from the state?
Our vocational programs here, and we have four. We have vocational agriculture, OWE, three really, and vocational home economics are all funded by the state.
Does this include your salary also?
It includes my salary, yeah.
Then criteria for any of the program, did you go through?
Okay. First of all, a boy has to be 16 years of age. Have failed usually or be behind 1 year in school at least.
You mean he has to at least fail a year?
Usually, yeah. That's a state criteria, yeah. Be behind his class. We have boys that are behind in our class. For instance, I have a kid is a senior, really, but he's in a junior home room because he lacks part of a credit to be a senior. You have to have 12 credits to be a senior. He has like 11 and 3 quarters, but that automatically puts him in you have to have 12 to be a senior. It puts him in a junior home room, but he is technically a year behind, but he will be able to pick up this credit throughout the year if he passes all his subjects, including OWE. Then he will graduate with his class or on time. Most of them are behind academically, and 90% of boys I've had, and most OWE teachers that I've had any connection with at all, most all of them have failed at least 1 year of English, and that's the biggest hang-up or problem that those kids have. And then they get discouraged, and they'll have to, and another criteria is they are a potential dropout. And we have a Hyde scale, which was developed by Tom Hyde that I mentioned earlier, being one of the first guys to start OWE in 1963. He developed a Hyde scale, and it takes into consideration a lot of things. I'd have to get one out to explain it to you, but I have copies of it, how you can use that for selection. But between myself and the guidance counselor and the principal, in the summer, we usually go through our selection process.
Good.
Usually, now the idea of potential dropout, a kid that's going to quit, that's the main thing. And they cannot have a range in their IQ, theoretically now, this is in most cases, no lower than 75, 76, than 89. But we have some variations on it. We don't have them lower usually, but some of them are higher than that.
Do you have a specific number that you can allow in the OWE program each year?
Minimum 15, a maximum of 25.
So then you'll sit down and decide, okay, the people that you'll have for your program.
Yeah, Mr. Marty and I usually, he's a guidance counselor, we usually go over this about May, something like this, April, May. And we have a potential list of names, kids sign up for it, as well as we check out certain kids that are not doing well and find out why and so forth. And then from this, we select with the principal usually. Now last year we didn't have the principal involved because our principal wasn't hired until August. Then we more or less go from there. You know, we play it by ear until we really know who needs the program the most.
Now, do you find out the discipline in this program is very easy to have because you have something hanging over their heads?
Or yeah, sometimes, yeah. You don't like to use it as a lever, but you can, because most of them, if they should fail, OWE would not graduate. And one of the prime reasons that they're in there is a chance for graduation.
So they
we don't want to make it a gift either, you know. But the discipline itself is not that hard to administer because, like you say, it is sort of a lever, but all you have to do in most cases is just remind them, hey, you know, if you don't straighten up or whatever the case might be, you know, we might have to drop you from the program and put you back in a regular classroom situation. And that's usually enough of an incentive for them to straighten up. We have dropped kids from our rolls for various reasons. We dropped the boy from the rolls this year because of attendance, and that's one of the things that there's a lot of them have had problem in the past. We try to stick close to 90% attendance. If you're in here 90% of the time, we know you're doing a job. Some of them drop below that, but the average stays up a lot higher than people think it does. Better than some of the other students in a regular classroom situation.
What type of facilities are here to use for the OWE program?
We meet the state standards, and we have our own classroom. We have it's a real nice classroom, recently remodeled. We have plenty of research material. I have an office with a desk, and one of the requirements is we have a phone available to myself or students if they should need it in the cases of not extreme emergency, but if, for instance, I have a boy who's not really sure every day where he works. He works for a painter, and they might work 2 or 3 hours.
So then you meet the standards for the facilities,
yeah,
no problem, and then
the phone available, like I was saying, and they use it, as this boy does, to check to see where he has to report to work. Along with that idea is, as far as facilities, one of the first things they do when they start a new program, such as OWE, is they come in and look at the facilities and make recommendations. I knew what the recommendations would be before I started it when I went to the OWE workshops before the program actually started. So we instigated upgrading those facilities before we had our PRIDE, P-R-I-D-E, it's initials for, it's our evaluation every 5 years. Well, my second year here, we were subjected or came under the PRIDE evaluation and met all the recommendations. The supervisors came and checked, the State Department of Education, Trades and Industry came and checked the building, the facilities, and the curriculum and so forth, which you must have a course of study for. And the subjects I listed are in that course of study, and I adhere to that pretty closely.
So they do check on you then?
Oh, yeah.
Same people. Is that... do they come around, maybe anybody going once a year?
Well, you never know. Sometimes they're here quite a bit, and sometimes they're not here very often. But the main thing they're concerned with is that you do meet those state standards as close as possible and upgrade the course of study. Because once you've turned that course of study in, they want you, it has to be approved by a teacher, educator, and trade and industry. And anything that he thinks should be added or deleted, you'd better do it because they want that program as much quality as possible, which, you know, that's exactly what it should be. My course of study is, I've got 3 or 4 more units to add this year. You add to them, and I've only deleted maybe 2 or 3 areas, and I stick pretty close to that as close as possible, and work that right along with my lesson plan.
What specific areas are you adding this year?
This year, labor unions, since there is so much labor union problems and so forth. A unit on personality development, which may sound minor, but the personal appearance and so forth, the unit that most instructors use goes along with that. A marriage unit. I can't recall either. I think it was 4 of them. I have to think of them. I don't have my curriculum with me, but units that would go right along with the everyday, you know, life of a student worker.
I'm sure you find these quite beneficial, or the kids find it quite beneficial.
Yeah, they like them a lot better than the exact disciplines in the classroom, I guess, if you want to call science and English and math and so forth. Those they would rather have that because they can make much more use of it, so they think, even though there's a lot of value to all those subjects, there's no doubt they need them, they think there's a lot of value to this too.
In other words, Mr. Nicholson, you are setting the tone for the kids, their life outside of school.
As much we try to influence them positively towards going to work and what it's going to be like. most of them are getting a taste of work and what it's going to be like, working 3, 4, 5, 6, and sometimes 7, 8 hours. But most of them are part-time. They don't work too many boys work a straight 8-hour shift. I have had kids work as high as 12 hours a day, but or 10 hours, I think, was the most. But they had regular jobs that they did not report to work until, well, it would be in the afternoon, say 2 o'clock. A couple of boys worked 2 to 10, 3 to 11 for the afternoon shifts, since we have to be in school until midday. Some of them made as high as $9,000, $10,000. Other boys is mostly part-time in the afternoon. And in some cases, they run over a little bit at night or something. And since the minimum hours has been dropped, a kid in a vocational program, 18 years old, he can work almost any hours he wants. He can stay and clean up till 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning. We don't care for that because they got to be in school the next day. And that's attendance, like I say, is a big thing.
In other words, you're talking about attendance here at school.
School, right? Yeah.
So how many days can they miss?
Well, there's no exact number, but it starts influencing their grade after a while, and they don't want to endanger that grade by, excessive absenteeism.
Can they miss class here at United and go to work?
Theoretically and technically, they're not supposed to, but if it's not a habit, and I know about it, there's some gray areas. You know, a kid says, well, I started feeling pretty good about noon. I was too sick to come to school. Technically, they're not supposed to, but you have to give and take a little in this area because, you yourself or myself, we both felt lousy in the morning, and then towards noon or something, we start feeling better, and maybe somebody does come back to work here at school at noon rather than have a full day substitute for us or whatever. But if it becomes chronic, and I find out he's working and not coming to work, then we got to take some steps to correct it.
Mr. Nicholson, could you just elaborate just on a little bit about maybe the attitude of the students when you first started to teach to now? Is there a difference maybe in the way they behave, or they maybe like to do their work a lot better at the beginning or less now?
Well, it's pretty much the same as any other kid, except they're really geared into work, and now, I mean, it becomes a pretty much of a routine. They get done. They do their work here at school. They get done. Many of them stay here, eat their lunch, which we like to have them eat a lunch because that's good for them. So get them to work, and they get in. They fall into the routine, and hopefully that they stick to that routine because it's going to become even more strictly regimented once they graduate. They're going to have to be there at 7 o'clock till 3, 8-hour day. It's going to be a little different than the 3 or 4 hours. As far as their attitude goes, I think it's much the same as any other student. They get a little bored now and then. They get restless. You know, you can always fire them up a little bit by saying, look, you're only here 3 hours from 8 o'clock to 11. Let's get done what we can do, and you'll be gone while these other kids, they have to stay in school, you know. But they look forward to their holidays off, too, and so forth.
So do you think maybe the attitude is more geared to working today than there was, students were more interested in working, making money today than they were when you first started?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Because once they get used to that paycheck, they don't want to miss that day, or they get their expenses to a point where they have to work. They depend on that money, and if it's not there, if they're laid off or miss a day's work, we try to tell them, look, hey, if you take off for any reason, or you just don't feel quite like going to work or whatever, it's going to reflect in your paycheck. Now, you won't feel too bad about it until you get your check, and you're going to see it's going to be a day short. Now, that's no fun. You need that money just like we do. So their attitude becomes more and more positive, especially some of the kids that have never worked before. And it's a routine they have to get into. And then, like I say, you and I or anything, after a while, those days, you look forward to a day off, a vacation, a holiday, whatever.
How's the administration here at United? Are they back to you?
Oh, excellent, yeah, excellent. We have one of the units is on school and community service. We do a lot of things for the school that are educational experience, I guess you call them, but that they might not be able to get done. without paying extra expenses to janitors and so forth. And it is a service to their school, and it teaches them, you know, there are some things that you have to do for people or want to do that you're not going to get paid for. Like, we paid the playground equipment for them. We've installed equipment. We've helped out the PTO, number of things like that, as a service to the school. And it gets them used to the idea. Once you get out, you know, and you're in your routine of work, and you're going to have some spare time, maybe, well, you can donate that time. We went down a few years ago and painted the tennis courts. And we took some shrubbery out for the bank and so forth. And so they know that these people exist. And you do those kind of services without pay, so to speak. You know, a lot of them want, like a lot of people, they want to be paid for everything. But our kids, we try to, don't, you know, they, you don't have to get paid for everything, and you have to donate your time now and then. That's one of the units I did add this year, yeah.
I know, for instance, during football season, you would go down there and clean the field.
I forgot about that. Yeah, we'd help them.
Phones.
We put the phone system in. Before we had the new cyclone fence around the field, we used to put up the snow fence around the field and down around the edges so people wouldn't go on the field. We built, a number of years ago, we built the lane, the sprint lanes for the broad jump and the pole vault pit as a school service. We don't get into that too much anymore because since we changed from AWE to OWE, their time is really, they're locked in where we, the only way we get out of class for a project like that is through the superintendent's approval and the principal, and we can't go out like an entire morning like we used to because we had shop time in AWE too, which we don't have in OWE. We have a project coming up when the weather gets nice here in a few weeks, and we're going to move a flagpole for the school. We have boys that know how to do those kind of things, you know. So, we, you know, the administration has always been great here. They back you. They most anything you need in the way of materials and time off to go to meetings and so forth, no problem at all.
Are there any particular administrators, in other words, any principals that you would like to comment on and specify what they have done for you here tonight?
Well, Mrs. Anderson, right now, our present principal, she was a former OWE teacher. She understands the OWE student and his situation and is sympathetic toward it. But by the same token, she knows that she's an administrator and I'm an OWE teacher and they're OWE students, that we like to bend a little for them, but we, you know, you can't go out of your way and start playing favorites. Principals in the past, the other two I've worked for.
What are the names?
Mr. Janik was our former principal here last year and the 2 years before that. He was appreciative of all the things we did for the school. He used to come out and thank us, as did Mr. Newha, Mrs. Anderson. They've all been super people. They more or less leave it all to me. Not all to me, but most of it to me. You take care of those boys and so forth, and you know, it's a stigma that you get connected with, that an OWE boy is your boy. Regardless, if he misbehaves in an English class, it's not just because his name is Joe Smith, it's because he's one of your, not because he's one of your boys, but he is one of your boys. They get in trouble downtown, and they say, I see one of your boys. It's always one of your boys, you know. And there's no way you can get around it. It's just a natural thing that's occurred, and other instructors told me the same thing, that even though you might only have them 2 hours, 3 hours a day, and they work and so forth, whatever they do reflects on the whole program yourself, even, and you can't get away from it, even though you have no control over some of those things. You understand what I mean by
that? Yes, so in other words, administration has been very appreciative.
Oh, yeah. And almost anything I've asked for, within reason, and I've never asked for an awful lot, they've gone out of their way to try to give me whatever.
Sure. And I would say that the Board of Education also would get into that.
Yeah. The board and the superintendent.
Mr. Newha.
Mr. Newha, Mr. Westfeld, previous superintendent, Mr.
Robert. How about Mr. Carter as a principal?
The best I've ever worked for up to this point, and I have only worked with Mrs. Anderson a few months.
What did he do for you and your OWE students?
Mr. Carter. He identified the problems these boys sympathized with them. They're getting behind in school and
some of them had been discipline problems, but he also didn't want it to become a dumping ground, that every problem the teacher's got, I mean, well, let's put him in OW, and we don't want that. And he enforced the idea that we don't want to be a dumping ground. He was super with just kids, I mean, you know, and handling discipline and getting along with kids, and a great motivator, just a super human being, really. I mean, probably one of the finest men I've ever in my life.
So then in the OWE program at United, you would say, has got the backing all the way from the administration to the school board, and also probably the student body, and of course your yeah. students.
The thing OWE. Is, they don't have that much connection with the student body. We try to say, look, hey, how about getting involved in the visual department? Rather than take a study hall, he would say, okay, I go to work for Mr. Fair in the IAB room, take care of projectors and screens and whatever, TVs, whatever it might be. And a number of times we've tried to get guys involved with reporting on different events in the high school involving OWE and that, or very seldom. It's difficult for them to do when they got to be here in school and then go to work right at 11 o'clock. You know, I mean, it's difficult to get them into a real co-curricular thing. We have had athletes in the past, not very many, because it's difficult for a kid to work in the afternoon and come back and go to practice at 2:30 and only be gone. That's very difficult to do. Being a former coach, I sympathize with the athlete, but I would prefer not to have the athlete in there simply because of the problems involved in working, practice, games, and so forth, okay?
Is there any other incidents or different things that you would like to talk about in the OWE program?
No, I think that covers it pretty well.
If not, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.